Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Foggy Bottom Pictures presents the Scary Octopus Records Halloween Hootenanny. Join us Saturday, September 28th at the Tally Ho Theater in Leesburg for a night of music and spooky hijinks. Enjoy performances from Sonny Ledford, the Pie Tasters, and Reverend Peyton's Big Damn Band, all in support of the good people at Mission 22. Don't miss the 12-inch Halloween Hootenanny official record release featuring new music from the Pie Tasters, Reverend Peyton, Sonny Ledford, and Ponytails and Cocktails. There will be giveaways, a silent auction, exclusive merchandise, and much more. VIP tickets have already sold out, so get your tickets now before it's too late at www.tallyhotheater.com.
Both types of sports with shoot and tour. Football discussion on the internet.
Good job out there,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah,
hey,
keep going.
Stop taking those hits.
Yeah, I know.
Hey,
yeah.
Learn from those mistakes, and everything that you got, bro, is in you already, bro. You're going to be a hell of a player in this league.
Yeah.
All right, boy.
Appreciate it.
For sure.
That is the clip that's caused all of the hullabaloo this week after the Houston Texans gave the beatdown to the Chicago Bears. Welcome to Both Types of Sports with Shoot and Tor, football discussion on the internet. I'm your host with the most, the Shootster. There is Gigantor. Hello, radio's Gigantor.
Glad to be a football fan again after this week. It feels like we're finally back, and the Hollow Man may not be coming out this season, which is a nice feeling.
Are you the Hollow Man?
At times, I've become the Hollow Man, where I just go through October to January with no feeling, really, really just apathetic towards everything. And now I feel life going through me again because football matters.
So it only takes the biggest win in your franchise's history pretty much to make the Hollow Man, banish the Hollow Man away.
That's right.
Salisbury, Sean Salisbury will be joining us at the bottom of the hour. So if you're looking for him, he will be here in about 27 minutes. I want to remind everybody that if you check the bottom of the page there, you can subscribe to Both Types of Sports on iTunes and Spotify. Tor puts the audio versions up there. They are FREE. So make yourself available and make them available in your life. Load them up onto your phone. We do at least 2 episodes a week. So we have been doing 3 episodes a week, which has been a lot of fun. Today on the program, we'll definitely discuss those comments. I specifically, Tor, was hoping to get Sean Salisbury's thoughts on, because I know that it's easy for me to fantasy book shit. It's easy for all of us to fantasy book shit as fans, but he's played quarterback. He's been with an organization. I want to ask him how he'd fix Miami's quarterbacking problem, because at last I checked, signing Tyler Huntley off the Ravens practice squad, I don't even know that I'd call that a Band-Aid. I know he's a former Pro Bowler, as Wesley the Barber was telling me, but we're talking about an undetermined amount of time, even though we know that Tua Tagovailoa is on IR. I can't imagine you look at that roster and think Skylar Thompson is going to be the solution there. So I'm looking forward to talking to Sal's about that.
Oh, definitely need to. It's a pressing issue, especially with the latest Tua developments, where it's not just a comeback when you're ready. It's you're going to be on the IR, and we are going to be moving forward accordingly until you get back off that IR.
If he does.
Yeah. It's a great if.
Cleared. I want to give a big verbal nod to our presenting sponsor. Tell you what, man, if you're looking for a place to go and stay and visit all those beautiful parks down in Florida, Dreamstay, baby, dreamstaygetaways.us. Click the link at the bottom. Look at the link, copy and paste the link, whatever. You're planning on going to Disney, you're going to Universal, maybe the winter isn't your bag and you want to be down in the sunshine, they got three amazing houses, resort amenities right next to Disney, right next to Universal. Big houses that fit everybody. You can bring all the families down there. They're in resorts. They've got arcades. They've got gyms. They got lazy rivers. They got all types of fun stuff. So if you don't want to burn all your cash on a day at the parks one day and you just want to hang out, you'll be good. You can save all your money on Airbnb fees by just going straight to the website. Check out the houses. We showed them last week. They're super cool. They got kids. They got fucking so many cool themed bedrooms. DreamStayGetaways.us. They are on Instagram and Facebook as well for more photographic evidence. And speaking of photographic evidence, Gigantor, I have a brand new segment for us today on the program. Are you ready?
I believe so.
Are you excited?
Semi-excited. I sometimes these segments, these surprise segments, I've gotten up for them, and I have realized, sure. that wasn't really a segment for me.
Yeah, what's inside Tor's pants? You didn't really like that one, and then we pulled it out. It was actually a TV dinner, which I was really shocked at. But I don't like to tell Tor in advance what these segments are going to be. What I do want to let everyone know is if you do super chat this show, all of the super chats get reinvested in our production budget. In our production budget, Tor, we've got the top fucking imaging guys in the world working on this show, and they cooked up this little intro for a brand new segment I like to call Now It's Time for NFL on X on BTOS.
Now it's time for the NFL on X on both types of sports.
See? So when you super chat, all of the super chats go towards making sure we look our best.
Now it's time for the NFL on X on both types of sports.
See? You didn't know that I got a hold of Gary Delabate and I said, hey, I need you to produce this show of ours. Got an E-Rock on the blower. Got Sal. Got Travis. All the OGs. I called Derek, called Danny Ross. I called them all.
You mean D-Man Mathers?
D-Man, baby. Jets and the Pats tonight. Are you taking? Great show as always. I do want to get to what we'll do X on the NFL later, and I just wanted to show Tor that I really have been spending my time wisely. Jets Pats, by the way, Tor, Jets could be 0-2 very fucking easily right now. I have no idea why they're favored by 6 over the Patriots that very easily could be 2-0 right now and are going to play D and run the ball and punch you in the mouth. I just saw that the Jets have played 3 NFL games in 10 days, 3 NFL games in 10 days from the 9th to the 19th. Maybe it's 11 if you want to split fucking hairs. I don't know how that's possible. That's some scheduling misappropriation as far as I'm concerned, but they started on a Thursday. They're not good on Thursdays either. They're not good against the Patriots. 6 seems like a big number for New York tonight.
Yeah, the Patriots are doing the Jets a bit this year where they're saying, we don't give an F how bad you think we're going to be without a quarterback. We're going to have 21 other players that can really get it done. And our 22nd player, Jacoby Brissett, not playing terrible. He's doing fine. He's keeping the team in games. He's not playing outside of himself. And he's competent enough as a quarterback in this league to win a game or two on his own merit. So the Patriots are definitely going to be one of these teams where you're looking back in November thinking, how did we have this many losses? Well, the Patriots nabbed one from us because they just played better football top to bottom.
Right. Aaron Rodgers missed throws last week, too. I know that they figured out a way to make it work, but he missed a couple up top to Garrett Wilson. I think he's going to continue to get more comfortable. I have very different feelings about Aaron Rodgers pulling this out as opposed to Caleb Williams, and we'll get to that. I wanted to start, though, with Cousins. I wanted to start with that drive for you. You're watching the Atlanta Falcons, and to say Kirk Cousins needs to lead the team down the field against a playoff squad on the road in prime time, it's got to be almost instantaneous, and he's got to score a touchdown. There's no money I would have bet against that. And if you are a Falcons fan and you're desperate for Drake London to be who you think he is, you're desperate for Kirk Cousins to be able to be worth all that money and stave off Penix and matter in a division, by the way, that's two teams already trying to run away with it. I can't imagine you were anything but very, very pleased.
Oh, it was the most meaningful win Atlanta has had in probably 8 years. Since the playoff run where they went to the Super Bowl, there hasn't been a win that has meant more for this team. Matt Ryan had some good wins after the Super Bowl year, but it doesn't come close to like the gravity of pulling off this because everything is against, historically, everything is against Atlanta winning that game in this situation. Kirk Cousins new and not really that fresh. And then he has a big pass over the middle. And I think he started to get some confidence with that second quarter touchdown. And then the second half, it just became a dogfight. Obviously, they tried to choke it away. A lucky Saquon Barkley drop that won the game for Atlanta, giving them a chance to go march down. But that final drive, it was everything that a Falcons fan has wanted to see. Open up the drive, find Kyle Pitts over the middle, sure hands, get a plus play. Hit Darnell Mooney on the outside. Hit Darnell Mooney on the outside again. Take a shot in the end zone and then find Drake London on a beautiful out. It was perfect. It was like unbelievable how I haven't felt like that in years.
Yeah. Now I'm happy for you, but you started that whole jag like a loser, Falcons fan, no disrespect, because you said it started with Saquon Barkley dropping the ball. How about their dunderhead coach and offensive coordinator, which, by the way, they've been raked over the coals the past five. Why are you throwing when the clock is your ally and Atlanta's enemy in that moment? One of the dumbest calls of this young season thus far.
Oh, but the play would have worked. It should have worked. How about running the ball would have worked?
Yeah.
How about the offensive line that in the entire second half for Philly was resetting the line of scrimmage 2 yards forward because Atlanta's defense started getting tired? I don't know what they were seeing that would have said, hey, you know, Atlanta's getting really stingy in the run game now. They weren't. They would have given up that first down if Philly had run the ball. And they decide to throw it out of maybe hubris. I'm not sure if someone put a call in. That was a crazy madman play. But I was happy to see Nick Sirianni fall on his face. He is a guy that is
He's unlikable.
It's very hard to root for that guy unless you're a Philly fan. I don't know how you would do it.
I would think that if you're Philadelphia right now, and what are they, 1-1, and they could have won that game, and the Falcons are supposed to be a playoff team. Like, it's a bad loss, but a lot had to happen to line up the right way. You had that game won. I'm already looking forward to Bill Belichick. Like, let's make the fucking run. Like, I'm going to call one of these old-ass coaches, you know, there's Belichick or Pete Carroll or John Gruden, whoever wants to do it, and say, here's your roster. You know, I mean, there's a couple of bumps here, but we've got the wide receivers locked down. We've got your running back of the future. We got your quarterback. Come on through. Somebody was screaming at me after we were taping a show this week, Tor, and they were talking about Belichick. He can't be the GM anymore. He can't draft. He wants total control. He doesn't have to. The keys are in the fucking ignition. And, you know, it's just, I think it's going to be the Cowboys, the Eagles. There's a couple other of these squads where you're like, the talent's all there. They just got it. It's very Los Angeles Chargers ask for the Eagles to make a run at Belichick after this season.
Yeah, for the Eagles, though, it's not analytics dork. It's kind of odd, awkward Hardo on the sidelines that gets like way too into it with fans, and he's trying to be a player's coach. But obviously, it's obvious that something is off in that Philly locker room where this team should be winning games, well, like handedly. The roster is immaculate. The moves that they make in the offseason is good. They have a great offensive line. Like, Philly is a team that just can't find a way to underperform more. Under what circumstances, it has to be some type of connection with the head coach.
All right, hit the like button, you cowards. We got to get those numbers up. Pump up those numbers. Now, this is something that I tweeted out immediately after I saw it. In theory, Tor, I've got nothing against Jason Kelce. In theory, I think he's, if you're saying that Travis Kelce is apex final form level attention seeking hunger like monster, Kelce's 40% of that. Now, he'll take his shirt off and dance at a game that isn't his and have all eyes on him. And speaking of dancing, I've never been more embarrassed for a grown man. I think you can wear the velour tracksuit. I think you can dance. You can do a couple of these things. The full form of it, and this was at some sort of a pep rally or whatever, but I just fucking, by the time that broadcast was done, I despised this man. And I think I'd love to have a beer with him. I think if you bumped into him at a bar, he'd be a lot of fun. But why, Tor, why was MNF slurping him like it was Brady, like it was Belichick, like it was one of these be-all end-alls, when he's just a conduit, no disrespect to him, to get to his brother and his celebrity girlfriend?
That's what it is. Oh, but did you know that he got the Philly tuxedo from Big Dom, the security manager for the
first Speaking Philly? Of attention hungry, Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. Enough already.
I know Jason Kelce's a hero for that city. He was a personal hero of mine for a long time. But the act of throwing him in the broadcast booth for a quarter plus and making this Monday night broadcast a Philly hometown broadcast. And I could see in the analyst afterwards, nobody was happy that Atlanta won the game. Nobody thought Atlanta was going to win the game, as they shouldn't have. They shouldn't have had any faith that the Falcons were going to pull some miracle upset. But it felt so tailored to Kelce and his return and all the shtick and all the bits. It didn't feel like a professional broadcast to me. It didn't feel like a professional setup. It was a Philly slurp fest, and that made it double. It made it so much better, so much sweeter to see them all seethe in rage after the game because they didn't get their way. Why am I treating it like it's my Super Bowl? Because it is my Super Bowl. Fuck Philly, the Kelce brothers. I'm tired of them. I'm tired of the national bias that's just slurping them up because Taylor Swift might be the next game. I'm done with it. So this was such a meaningful win just outside of football.
The part that I don't disagree with what you said, but the Kelces are just the Kelces. They have their podcast. He doesn't play anymore. Tor, that was a regular season game. That was a primetime conference opponent game, two potential playoff teams. They treated it like the Pro Bowl. They treat it like a preseason game when they bring people up and interview them because nobody gives a fuck about what's going on the field. That is a one-score game with nuts on the line and people's, you know, you're already talking about people getting benched in people's jobs, and they're just asking him about the center and the tush push for a full quarter. How many times do they rephrase, let's get him to say tush push, let's keep him in the booth until they actually attempt it? I just couldn't believe how much Buck and that whole group were taking the knee, the little widget at the bottom corner every time he was speaking. Make sure you know this guy's last name's Kelce. It just reeked of desperation.
Yeah, it was not a good listen if you were just trying to unbiasedly watch the football game. If you didn't have a rooting interest, you would think you were watching the Philly home broadcast. I would have to imagine it because every zoom in was of the new Philly center just, you know, rucking on the tush pushes. And, oh, do you miss that, Jason? Oh, not really. I couldn't stand it.
If there was a prop bet on my bookie for how many times tush push was going to get mentioned, I would have lost because you couldn't have put it high enough. Like, I mean, how many times in the third quarter was that mentioned? And by the way, I hate to say it again, they could have tush pushed for 3 yards. If they would have lined up and attempted that for 3 yards, you bleed clock, maybe you pick it up. That would have been a better call than the missed pass to Saquon as well.
The amount of like decisive plays and excitement in that game where it was knotted up and there was tension and it was good theater from a football standpoint. Sure. And they couldn't like get their mouths off the Kelce balls. It didn't seem like it was cohesive. It didn't seem like a smart play. And I think that a lot of people, maybe it's just my echo chamber, but I don't think we were the only ones that noticed it either.
Hope not. Hit the like button. Wanted to show you this photo. So if you're listening on the podcast, this is Caleb Williams pulling a Bill Cowher and extending his lower jaw across the 50-yard line of the field as C.J. Stroud is giving him some really solid advice. Tor, if I lied to your face right now, right, you might believe me if it was a good lie, right? Like if I sat here and I told you, hey, Tor, look, man, it's a problem but I'm transitioning or there's an alien in the backyard or fucking my dog just turned into a Bengal tiger. It's like, you might, okay, but I trust Dukes. I think this is... What if Ant-Man said that to you?
Yeah, there's no shot. Like, I would know. You're just making things up. You're fibbing.
And why is that? Why?
Because he has a history of being a lying liar.
Okay. So, Caleb Williams being upset at the end of a football game that he lost, a close game where he didn't play well, and the guy across the field is, like, who he's, you know, supposed to be, not sitting there and wanting to take fatherly advice from a dude that's his peer, in an echo, like you said, like in a Petri dish, sealed up. That ain't a big deal at all. But Caleb Williams is a fucking weirdo. And if you continue to be a weirdo, we talked about this with Kyler, it's like shit doesn't... I think it was Will Compton had an interesting tweet about this. He goes, it doesn't really seem like it's that big of a deal, but because it's Caleb Williams, I'm paraphrasing, it is. And it's not because of the Caleb Williams spotlight. It's because he's acted in a bizarre way now for several years, this being the latest entry. What was your initial thought? Well, let me play it real quick. What was your initial thought when you saw this? And then what was your, after it had a chance to marinate? Let me start it over again because he actually has to pull him in by the collar.
Hey, stop taking those hits.
Yeah, I know. Hey. Yeah.
Look, come here. Learn from those mistakes, and everything that you got, bro, is in you already, bro. You're going to be a hell of a player in this league.
Yep.
All right, boy.
Appreciate it.
For sure.
He had to pull him by the fucking collar of the shoulder pads back in because Caleb Williams was trying to walk away in mid-sentence. What was your takeaway from that?
Yeah, my takeaway was that Caleb Williams was butthurt that he lost to a guy that's his age, and now the guy that that's his age is giving him advice like he's been an OG in the league forever. But at the same time, wow, look what Stroud did. You know, look what Stroud has been able to do.
Maybe Stroud not earned that?
If I'm a young quarterback in the modern era, I'm not like looking up to CJ Stroud, but if he's telling me something after the game, after the first couple weeks that he had, after his opening game versus Baltimore, where he was getting ran down and it didn't look good, and then he bounced back and figured it out, I'd say, yeah, thank you for that. Thank you for still believing in me. There's a demeanor that I would want my quarterback to have after a loss. Being upset about a loss is fine. It's a competitive sport. I want my quarterback to be the ultimate competitor, not Trevor Lawrence that's just aloof after the game. Like that's an irritant to me. But the look of, okay, I kind of already know what you're already telling me. It looked like Caleb Williams felt like he was being patronized, which I don't think that's how it came across. And CJ Stroud even walked it back and said, I wasn't trying to little bro him because that's not what I was trying to do.
Let me play the clip for God's
sake. Trying to like treat him like I was trying to like little bro him or not. He knows that too. I have a ton of respect for him. I told him I had respect for him. But I had so many guys coming to me after games last year, and that meant the world to me. That those guys even thought about giving me advice. So I just try to get back to what the game has given to me. So I wish him the best, man. I want him to do amazing in this league. I think he will. I think that he'll get his groove. And once you get your rhythm, I didn't get my rhythm until like week three, week four. So I can see him, his game picking up from here. And so, I don't think he was trying to like, you know, be any towards way. He's just upset that they lost. I totally understand. So I have a ton of respect for that guy, man. I want him to do extremely well, just like any other guy until we play on that day. You know what I mean? And after the game, we can be cool. You know what I mean? But I'm definitely, you know, rooting for him and want to see him do extremely well.
If you're Houston and you're a football fan, or even better yet, you're the GM or you're the owner, do you just fall to your knees and thank the Lord that that's the guy you drafted? All these other busts we're seeing, Tor, that guy at that age already has that level of maturity to come out and sound like that behind a microphone.
He's just a professional in every sense of the word. It's so impressive. Every time he speaks, he says the right things. Every time he plays, he does the right things. I don't know who I would be praying to. I wouldn't change. If I was the GM or anybody in Houston, I wouldn't change anything in my daily life in hopes that it would cause some butterfly effect to not have him as the quarterback and the leader of my franchise, a savior, a lottery ticket that you're not wasting on a big boat. It's something that you're investing in. It's so valuable to have CJ Stroud being this type of guy.
And it's so difficult. I mean, you can have all the optics in the world into the draft, and it doesn't matter. There's either chemistry doesn't work or the game's too fast, or we're looking at that with Levis now. I mean, Levis, they traded up in the second round to get him. It ain't the same as one overall, but it looks like he's never played quarterback before. And just the game is so difficult. I don't think it means Caleb Williams is not going to eventually find success. But C.J. Stroud, if someone came up to – what did he say, Tor? He said, when guys came up to me and thought enough about me to try to help me, it meant so much to me. It didn't look like that to Caleb Williams. It looked like it was a big pain in the ass that he didn't want to hear anything about it, regardless of whether or not it was justified because he was upset about them losing.
It was like his ego couldn't let him be seen getting advice from a quarterback of his age. It seems like truly ego that is, okay, man, I'm going to remember this. Who do you think you are trying to run me down after the game?
So wait a minute. Are you saying if it was Rodgers or if it was somebody else that he would have responded differently? You think it was specifically because Stroud he views him as a contemporary?
I would think that maybe if it was Rodgers giving him a talk, but I also would say if it was Derek Carr trying to talk to him after the game, somebody that isn't a certified first ballot guy, he probably would have made the same face. He probably would have reacted in a similar fashion, where if it was a true legend of the game, maybe he would have been a little more receptive. But not being receptive in that moment is just a bad look. And you have to remember, you're always representing yourself while you're on the field. When you get back home, then you can do whatever you want. There's no cameras there. There's no paparazzi. But it was always preached to us. If you're at a bar, you're representing the program. Not only yourself, but the program. You represent everything if you're out in public. And I think he forgets that at times.
You follow us on X. It is Both Types Sports. Both Types Sports X and Instagram. I saw this tweet, and it was just about all of the different things that happened with DJ Moore during that game, the same game with Caleb Williams. That, of course, is the facial expression heard around the world tour. Everybody was talking about that. But also, he walked by Tyson Bajan and said something like, "I need you out there," or people have paraphrased and tried to read his lips. Now, DJ Moore came out and said that he regrets the frustration that he was showing on the field, and he should. It's not a good look. This is a young quarterback, and you got to be there. But if you're DJ Moore, you want to talk about his little fucking echo chamber. Carolina to Chicago to the quarterbacking play. He already has the stomach, and he's still produced. And then this kid gets there and replaces the guy that you wanted to stay there in Justin Fields. He's on record saying that. If we're going to forgive Caleb Williams for being frustrated and not taking C.J. Stroud's advice, I think we got to forgive DJ Moore then, too, for being so goddamn frustrated.
Yeah, at least with Justin Fields, if for all the lows that he had, one of the highs of his quarterbacking play in Chicago was, I'm going to feed this dude DJ Moore the ball.
Yep.
He is going to get, I am going to throw it to him, whether it is 10 yards above his head, at his feet, or in his chest. I saw what Justin Fields and DJ Moore could do in person versus Washington last year. I know it was Washington, and it was Emmanuel Forbes looking like he's never played corner before. But if I'm DJ Moore, I'm saying I could do this every game. Maybe not three touchdowns, 256 yards, but I can be 100 yards a game guy. I could be a touchdown a game guy. I just need these opportunities, and it's making me look bad if I'm not getting them. So I can empathize with what DJ Moore's going through.
He came out and said, I shouldn't have shown as much. It's a part of the game. Like I said, we were one play away from a game changer and we just couldn't connect. Nobody on offense could connect with the one player, get it started. It's football. Everybody has their ups and downs. I mean, looking at it, I didn't think it was bad, but if you look at it on the TV, it's blown out. And I'm like, all right, that's enough. And then you can do some self-evaluation. That's a good way to respond to it, to just brush it off and claim that you weren't pissed as shit. It's not the right way. But lest anybody forgets, this is what DJ Moore said about the Chicago Bears drafting anybody other than, or not sticking with Justin Fields and drafting a quarterback. I believe the top two quarterbacks then were Drake May and Caleb Williams that had announced that they were going to be in the draft. This is what he had to say. I think this is less than a year ago.
Y'all asked me that, last week? Somebody asked me that last week. I'm still like, bro, where are y'all seeing this? Like, what makes him not the quarterback for the Chicago Bears right now? I get y'all got everybody coming out. What, it's like two of them?
Caleb Williams.
I don't think they better than Justin, so they cool.
Now, he's got his quarterbacks back and times change, but do you think he believes that Caleb Williams is better than Justin Fields right now as the Steelers sit there 2-0?
I think he's wishing for Justin Fields, which is crazy.
But, a weird place to be.
in that press that questioning, he had an opportunity to say, "Hey, I'm here to contribute to the Bears. I'm going to be the best player that I can be, no matter who's throwing the ball. Obviously, I have love for Justin Fields, and if something doesn't work out here, I'll have love with whatever quarterback comes in." But to outwardly say, "I think Justin Fields is better than both of them," that is an opinion. He is giving that opinion out. Where he could have just punted that answer. So that is telling. And I think that he needs to develop some real chemistry with Caleb Williams very quickly.
Yeah. That is a combustible situation with Roma Dunza. He's dinged up now too, right? And he is not producing. And it is not the Bears' fault how much hype they receive. They position themselves in the offseason to increase their expectations. But when you hinge everything around a rookie quarterback, if they were the ones adding Kirk Cousins, right? If they were able to go out and trade for Matt Stafford, or Tom Brady wants to come out of retirement, he wants to play quarterback for the Bears. Okay. This is a veteran. I've seen you do it, but the notion that Caleb Williams is just going to be able to come in and not have any growing pains is ridiculous. And the statistical comparisons between him and Fields and his first two starts, they're very striking at this point.
Yeah, I would say that I am not very much at all for the Bears. It's week two. I think that everyone is very ginned up to be talking about football week two. We missed it all off season, and now we have very spicy, juicy storylines that we get to go
You locking up. Look at this freeze. Lock up. They won't let me out. All right. Can somebody get a screen cap of this, please? This is the second best freeze we've ever had in the history of the show. I think y'all know the first. If you could get the second best freeze screen cap that we've ever had, this is what I want it to be. Anyone willing to get a Tor tattoo? You're back, buddy.
I don't know what just happened there.
Dude. I hope you see it. I really hope. Corey said he got it. Send it over to me, Corey.
Did I have a big stupid face frozen? Oh, no.
Dude.
Please, no Tor tattoos. Please. I can't handle it. I don't want to be on another body.
Oh, the best friends. Oh, that's right. You're on several bodies down here, are you not? All right, let's go through some of these before Sal joins us.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Now it's time for the NFL on X on both types of sports.
Woo, that's our high. We've got no super chats today, and that you can tell. That's the production value that we fucking. That's what you get, you dirty sons of bitches. All right, so this segment, we're just going to go through NFL Twitter and give our reactions. I got some juicy ones here. This is from Tyreek Hill, who retweeted NFL rumors. NFL rumors said former Carolina Panthers quarterback Cam Newton was spotted at the Miami Dolphins practice. Per multiple reports, it's unclear if he was just talking to some teammates that were friends or the reasoning. And Tyreek Hill retweeted that and said, this team already has too many kids, which is funny because Tyreek Hill has too many kids, in my opinion. Tor, is he trolling here or did he not know how that was going to look? What am I missing here?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I didn't fully grasp what Cheetah was going for with this tweet. I didn't know if he was calling Cam Newton childish, and that's why he, you know, we can't have him here on campus. I don't even know if Cam Newton has kids. I think he might.
I think he's calling Cam Newton a kid. He's calling his teammates a kids, but then he's got 35 kids. So like the comments section is World War III on this particular tweet. Holy shit. I know who can speak to this. I guarantee that Sean Salisbury can clear all this up for us. Sal, what is Tyreek Hill trying to say? Is he trolling the followers or is he shitting on Cam Newton and his teammates?
Okay, well, I've been in mediation, not for myself, but I'm by 5 o'clock today, I'll be a licensed mediator in the state of Texas. So I'll get, so Bravo. I'm excited. So I've been in it, and that's not a pat on, well, kind of pat on the back because it's been a grind, but so I have no idea what Tyreek Hill, so I'm looking at this. What did he say? So I did my show for 2 hours and took the last 2 hours off the last 3 days. So I have no idea what he said.
It's just right. I mean, they said Cam Newton, this NFL rumors account said Cam Newton was at Dolphins practice. And Tyreek said, this team already has too many kids. And Tyreek Hill's got about 100 kids. So we can't figure out if he's trolling us or if he's saying his teammates are children and Cam Newton is a child. It could go a bunch of different ways.
I'm gonna guess and say that he's talking about young players on his team.
Okay.
I guess maybe. the question is, do they have any history in the past, guys? I don't know if Cam and Tyreek have any history where it's a dig on him for saying he acts like a child at times. I'm sure with his celebrations and stuff, he has. But he's a full-grown man. I mean, looks like he can still play. But I'm going to assume Tyreek meant this, as we got a lot of youth on this team now. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because he's been under a little bit of heat lately. So I'm going to try to maybe I won't cut him. Well, he's dogging. He's got 47 kids anyway. There you go. Well, I'll tell you what, he's the expert on it.
Having children? Yeah, I'd say so.
He knows. He's got a good idea what it takes, because hell, that many you forget names. But God bless him, man. Three was enough for me. So there you
go. That's enough for anybody. All right. So one of the major things we got to get from you, Sal, and I'm sure you've been talking about all week, everybody has, but you played quarterback, you watch quarterbacks, you work with quarterbacks, you develop quarterbacks.
Yep.
This is a very unique situation, one that the Dolphins have inexplicably found themselves in before, kind of when Jay Cutler was called back out of the booth to be their quarterback. I said I would burn up the whatever needed to happen to Brady's my guy, but Garoppolo, people have talked about trading for him, and his suspension will be up. Ryan Tannehill has said, I want to be a starter. This would be an opportunity to be a starter. Tua is now on IR. I can't imagine that. If you're Miami, you think that Tyler Huntley and Skylar Thompson are going to be enough to win you a playoff game. If they said, general manager Salisbury, we need you to fix this situation for us now that Tua is out of this game, how are you going about it?
Well, I'm with you. You got to ask. And no, they're not. That I can't imagine that's what they're going to line up with. And no disrespect to those guys, but this team's a playoff aspiration team, right? And I think they believe they have Super Bowl talent, and they lost their guy. So you're going to go scout a backup or a backup for a team, you know, like I know they're not going there, but somebody like Wilson, who's now what, on the Broncos, I think, is a backup. You're going to scout, you're going to go with all these teams and not in house that have a Davis Mills. I'll bet you they make that call to Houston on Davis Mills, because he's a solid player. He's never going to see the field with C.J. Stroud. You'll go look for a veteran that's got some experience that can come in and maybe has an idea, maybe from Mike's past that he's seen him and he can come in and be a quick study. But I'm with you, man. I'm calling and saying, dude, what will it take to get you to come out and play 1 year? And I'm calling a guy in the broadcast booth. I'm not sure. He's making so much money at Fox, it won't be about the money, right? It's like 300-some million bucks. So, but I am calling him. And Mike comes from that San Francisco background. It would fit Tom well. It got to be enticing to Brady. I can't imagine it's not at least enticing to think about, where he's not coming back on a shitty team. And Brady come back on a team, you got all the team speed you want. You got all the weapons you want. You got a coach that's innovative. You've got a team that thinks it's a playoff team and a Super Bowl caliber team. Why not? At least call. All you can do is hang up the phone on you saying no. And then you start working down the list. Who's available? I don't. For Cam Newton's sake, that's not my starter. They're more of a, they want to throw the ball, get it out quick, ball up and out. And Cam's more of a, you know, create. And he hasn't been accurate in his career. He's a hell of a talent, but he's not been accurate, been out of the game. Save if anybody talking about Colin Kaepernick, zip it. That's not happening. He's been out of the league since I've been out of the league. and so he ain't playing. But you start with somebody, I think, if it's not a superstar, right, like a Brady, one of those guys that's been a star that's still semi-removed that you think can play, you're going to go to a Garoppolo. You're going to go to a backup with experience that a team would be willing to move for the right asset, move a guy for a fourth round, or at least we get something. He's not going to play here. That also has a third guy that you can plug right in as a second guy and think you're okay. So think about guys, think about the team like Mills. Think about teams that have that, like even though Zach Wilson is not going to be as accurate as us three will. He is still got potential, and coaches are intrigued with that stuff, like with Sam Darnold, right? And now look what Kevin's doing with him in the first two games. So Brady would be my start, because I think I'm going to get a no, but I'd say, dude, will you come back? We'll pay a $50 million for one season.
Why not?
Yeah.
Other quarterbacks million. Are making more than that right now.
$50 million. And Tom's teased us, you know, these first 2 weeks, I can guarantee you the job will be available to him when he comes. Hell, it wouldn't surprise me in the Fox contract. I don't know this. Wouldn't surprise me if there is an out in there that says, can I come back? Can I, if I play one season, can I go do it? Maybe I'm wrong. I would have negotiated that for him, because he looks like he's still in shape. And you know the competitive juicer there. Wouldn't take him long to get ready. And he wouldn't have to carry the team. He just have to fit in because they got weapons. So I'd start with him. But I'm suggesting that somebody else is going to be the starting quarterback eventually there. It's not the guys in-house.
When you talk about quarterbacks and the big stories of this week, I would assume that Bryce Young is secondary to this. They're going away from him. We know what the Panthers gave up. We know the quarterbacks that have came before him. This is a broken franchise. The question after this, though, Sal, is I don't agree with the NFL draft. I don't think it's fair that these players don't get an opportunity to say, you and I have talked about this. I can get conscripted into the military, but I can't take my skills and offer a job, my services, and then they offer me a contract. That's the way the rest of us do it. But he's got to deal with the world the way that it is. Can you put him back in if Andy Dalton, you know, 4 or 5 weeks down the road, how does that help? Does he need a fresh start? Does he have to go someplace else? And hopefully Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield, this thing, like, and there's also his size. And right. I mean, there's just a lot of questions now. How do you move forward now that they've done something we've never seen a franchise do before?
Chad, I think the easy thing for us to do, fellas, is to, and I'm not, you know, an apologist for anybody or for Bryce Young. The easiest thing for us to do, and seeing the position, watching better players than me play it, being on teammates who are better than me, playing it for 10 years, would be for us to bury bury Bryce Young already. Just bury him, say he's a bust. Now, you could say everything about that franchise has been a bust the last year in 2 weeks. And we know how the owner is, too. He is, you talk about knee jerk.
Yeah.
Hell, if they lose two more, don't be surprised. They may fire the coach after four games. That's how they think there. But think about it. He was hurt some last year. He's still in the infancy of his career. If we got rid of every rookie quarterback who looked like a bust his rookie year, we wouldn't have any more room on the heap on the sideline. So we got to slow our roll on this. Now, when you watch him, it's a hard watch. He looks like, damn. This is, you start to say, was this the guy in college who had all that success? And remember, he's never had failure. Great at Modern Day, won all the time at Alabama, football savant, played his ass off, playmaker all the time. Now, he's on that team with about 47 draft picks. That always helps, meaning I'm not sure Alabama didn't have better players than Carolina, but we always kid about that Alabama could beat a team like that, and they couldn't. Right. But that's the success. So he's going through his first bout of failure, and I'm okay with it. Do I think I think the plan is to let to Dalton to play. You're not going to win six straight games. They're not good enough as a team. So let's put that aside. Andy's going to be able to handle getting hit in the mouth and throwing a pick. And he's seen this movie before in Cincinnati and other places. I think the plan is to a month, let him sit back and watch. If we're just kind of, we go 1-3 or 2-2, we're kind of floundering around. The quarterback looks good sometimes and not the other times. Then you put him back in to say, did the perspective of standing over here and watching the guy do what you did different, is that enough?
Right.
But you can't move on. You can't trade him right now. There's so much egg on your face. Just for pure optics, Carolina can't do it. Because then you're admitting shitty front office, horrible offense, everything. It filters down as to say, well, we failed. And we quit on a guy second year into his career. So, but what Bryce needs a lot of work. And you're right, the size thing that was concerned for some, I think size can be overrated when it comes to that position. But people are going to lean on that now, and I get it. But he just doesn't even look like he understands what's going on and doesn't know how to throw a ball against air right now. And I love the kid, and I'm rooting for his success. But you can't win with him right now. This is the right move. But this isn't going to last all year because Carolina's not a playoff team. At some point in time, Andy will hit a struggle. They'll lose a game or two, and then they'll put Bryce back in, hoping the perspective and the results will change. But if you're expecting Superman to come back after being on the bench for 3 weeks, it's not going to happen. There's a lot that needs to be done in Carolina. The alarming thing is that he had a clean pocket last week most of the time. And when he had that kind of playmaking in college, he dominated. So I'm not willing to quit on him. I'm just not, because I've seen the movie. But I'll tell you what, continues to play like this when he goes back in, they will start to reevaluate this offseason and say, are we going to do what we did with Josh Rosen in Arizona, right? 1 year, the next guy comes up, we're going to trade Josh. And it's never worked out for Josh since, and Kyler Murray's a quarterback. So it'll be more urgent than we've seen in years past because teams are moving on quicker. That's too early to move on from Bryce Young. I think you got to allow this to simmer for a minute.
Sean, seeing how good Bryce Young was in college on a great team going to a bad team in the NFL, do you think that like the potency of this benching legitimizes the comments that Deion Sanders has made in the offseason about what Shedeur Sanders is going to, his plan with him and Travis Hunter going to the NFL and being outwardly saying, oh, we are not, I'm not going to send them to this team. We have a couple teams that we would like to send them to. Do you think that this new development legitimizes that in any way, or gives more power to that thought?
Oh, I do. And what have we seen? What, Elway, Eli, right? I mean, dictating where they go. And if I, first off, I don't think Shedeur Sanders is going to be the first pick of the draft. I mean, I just don't. Matter of fact, I think Hunter's a better player. I think Shedeur Sanders is going to be a first rounder. I don't anticipate him because Carolina, maybe the Giants. Carolina is a bad football team. And when they pick first down, when I say don't quit on him early, if all of a sudden they play bad football the rest of the year, and let's say Andy Dalton starts the rest of the year, right? Real quick. Andy Dalton starts the rest of the year and they go 4-13. And you never saw Bryce Young again. And now you got the first pick of the draft. Now what? Is it Carson Beck? Is it Quinn Ewers? Is it Shedeur Sanders? Now you're faced with that decision. Like, gosh, we didn't even get to see the reboot. Do we move on? Which wouldn't shock me. But I do think, every now and again, the different, you know, different decade comes along where you've positioned yourself. And then there's some guys, and Deion's brash, but Deion, he's a guy that's going to put it out there. And I don't think he'd want to put it out there and say, oh, we're not going. I could see them putting a team together, meaning a team of Deion and his son and the agent and whoever, saying, no, don't do that. We're not going there. But when all is said and done, if they still draft him, guess what he's going to do?
He's going to go there.
Play in Carolina. That's exactly right. He'll eventually go. There's too much, you know, there's a lot of money. I know with NIL, it makes it a little easier for kids to stay or to hesitate if you're a sophomore, a three-year sophomore. But I don't think he's going to be the first pick of the draft. So I think it'll be a moot point. And I think Carolina, unless they change, it's going to be the first pick. But Carolina's going to be faced with that situation. But I think it's a great point by you that a lot of times it's just hogwash. Yeah, you don't want to be there. We hear that from people. I'm not going there. And when they get drafted, we even heard the rumors about Caleb didn't want to play in certain places, right? Listen, when you get right down to it, you think you're the guy that can go fix it. That's a volatile situation in Carolina. And Deion's not afraid to do anything and try to shape it and massage it his way so it gets what's best for his program or him or his kids. And I get it. If you got the power and it's within the rules, go ahead. But Shedeur Sanders is going to go where he's drafted. But I don't think, as I look at it, I don't think he's the first pick of the draft this year.
So as we begin the show today talking about the Stroud, Caleb Williams back and forth, we played the clip, and there's a couple of different ways that you can analyze this. But body language matters, and if you listen to the way C.J. Stroud responded to this, he said, the reason I did this was not to embarrass Caleb Williams anyway. It's other veterans did this for me my rookie year, and it meant a lot to me, so I wanted to do the same. If Caleb Williams didn't have all of these other examples of how marches to the beat of his own drummers, one way to put it, I think he's a weirdo. That's what the way I've characterized him. Kyler Murray kind of goes in that. There's some weird guys out there, and sometimes it works, but if it's not working, well, then it adds added scrutiny because there's a resume. And I think that whole back and forth with Stroud approach, it is, I can't believe these veterans would come and talk to me, and we look to where he is in his career. And Caleb Williams looked like, at best, he wanted to be anywhere else in that exchange, to the extent where C.J. Stroud had to put his hand on the collar of his shoulder pads and draw him in. Did you feel differently about that exchange when you first saw it as opposed to now talking about it all week there where, you know, I imagine it's even larger issue than anywhere else world?
Yeah, I've felt the same when I saw it and heard it that I do today. This is a horseshit narrative, not by you, the overall narrative that Stroud little broed him. Right. Sure. Is that what little broed him? But who is he? First of all, when did age have anything to do with lending somebody a helping hand? If ego is what's involved, now I'm not talking about Caleb, I'm talking about in the media or fans or on social media. Oh, who's he think he is? Well, I can tell you who Stroud is. He's a top five quarterback in the league that I don't care what his age is. The guy was in Caleb Williams' situation last year. Remember, 2 years ago, questioned him when he came out of Ohio State. Is he a leader? What kind of guy is he? Is he smart enough because of the test score that he got? Well, the Texans didn't pay any attention to that. Look what they got. So to me, well, what about Darnold? He admitted that he didn't really know how to study when he was in, since he's been in the league. And what'd he say? A guy who's been in the league less than him, Brock Purdy, was a good example for him and taught him and gave him a great example on how to prepare and how to watch tape and study. Darnold has admitted that. Look how he's playing. The reason why I don't care about the body language of Caleb Williams, because I've seen this body language with 50 other things.
Right.
So even if he looked disinterested, I guarantee you he heard it. Now, whether he applies it or not, that's him. And you know he's an SC guy, and I like him. And you're right. He's a different cat now. Make no mistake about it. Stroud, if people know his background and listen to him every day talk, there's not 1 ounce of let me go. Now, if he'd have walked by and just tapped him and dapped him a little bit and didn't stop Stroud, what would we be saying? Oh, big timed him. First round, you know, second round pick, big time. The first round, the first pick of the draft, second pick of the draft, big time. So you can't win. To me, and I listen to it, I think here's a guy who just, he didn't even give him advice. He gave him support. Yeah. Hang in there. It's inside you. You're going to be a hell of a player in this league. The body language, I understand. Who wants to be out there after you take a beat, you get beat, and you throw a couple picks? Of course. But it doesn't matter. It didn't matter if it's a rookie and I was in my 10th year, if I'm in my 10th year talking to a 12-year guy. You take it. It's hard to play this freaking position. And we chase after these ghosts that, oh, man, I got an idea. Let's go fuck around with these two guys and see if we can create some havoc. When it will not shock me if those two talk on the phone or something and go back. It's a quarterback fraternity. It's a hard position. Now, if he'd have went over there and said, dude, one day you'll be as good as me, and you step walk, okay. Or if you fake dap him and you leave and don't talk to him. I mean, all the guy simply said in about a 15-second bite was, you're gonna, hey, bro, or whatever he said. And he said, you're gonna be a hell of a player in the league, and it's inside you already. Why can we be mad at that? Because I listen, if you handed Caleb Williams $10 million on the field, he'd have probably given you the same look. So who cares about the body language of that walking out? If you're not pissed walking off the field, even when somebody gives you advice, you want to punch him in the throat, then you're not a competitor. So for me, this narrative that, oh, man, Stroud, boy, condescending, he's only a year older. I can't remember a time, and I'm not dogging any me. Whoever says it, I don't care. I just don't understand why we chase this ghost and we try to create stuff instead of just report what happened, man. And why don't we ask Caleb Williams if he thought it was condescending or if he big-timed him or if he little broed him? It was just simple advice. I'd want it. I'm not a first pick or the second pick. So to me, I think it's a horseshit narrative that is people create stuff when there's not a lot to talk about. And if Caleb Williams doesn't like it, he'll get over it.
He will.
And if you're CJ Stroud, keep giving, you know, support to your quarterback fraternity and hope that he picks up on some of it. But I'll guarantee you, Caleb Williams, regardless of the body language, he heard it. And there was nothing negative about what he said. You got beat. And I'll bet you $1 million if the roles were reversed and Caleb played out of his mind and said, hey, man, you're a hell of a player. I know today wasn't your favorite day or whatever. I can't wait to see you again. You keep doing your thing. CJ shouldn't have had a problem with it. Age has no bearing on – that's like saying somebody gives a 25-year-old gives a motivational speech to a bunch of gas and oil guys, and they say, this is his third speech, and it's a dynamic speech and precise. And those guys, oh, what's a 25-year-old going to teach me? Probably a hell of a lot if you just open up and widen your bandwidth, you dumb fuck, okay? So pardon my language, but good gracious. I mean, we are a society that the only time people are happy is when you punch somebody in the throat or it's contentious. You can't just say, hey, the guy's giving advice. I understand how it looks. And I don't even know where it started with the media. I don't care because there's a lot of great media. You can differ an opinion and still like what somebody said about it. My opinion is that Caleb Williams got some quarterback fraternity love.
Yeah.
Nothing more. And I'm a Raider fan, so I don't care if they didn't talk or if they did. It doesn't bother me. But I don't think there was anything that was like, hey, I'm such a good player. Let me just give you some advice, dude. Caleb Williams will be a good player, and CJ Stroud already is.
Sals, I got three teams for you right now. They're all 2-0. I want to know which one, in your opinion, is the most legit. Okay. Pittsburgh Steelers, the Los Angeles Chargers, the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, that's easy, I think.
For me, the Chargers are the first one. I go Chargers first. They've always had talent. Every year, talk about a mash unit. Every year, like in training camp in the past, this guy's got a hamstring. This guy blew out his knee. Like 8 starters get hurt. And then they got to go. And then they had a coach who on 4th and 27 would go for it when you're down 3 at the 37-yard line in the past. Okay. They finally got a guy who has some common sense and making decisions, in-game decisions where you're like, dude, don't cost them the game. And Harbaugh will do that. They're going to be more physical. They run the football. They're going to make sure they're committed to it. They got a beast as a quarterback. And of those three teams, that's the best quarterback. And it'll always start with the best quarterback.
Yeah.
And Harbaugh's, you know, he's back in the NFL. He gets it. So them first. I love the Steelers' defense and the way they're running them. They're not sustaining this offense. They're not offensively. That I don't see that team. Now, Mike Tomlin, aside from Andy Reid or with Andy Reid, is as good a coach we have on the planet. But I don't think that their offense is good enough to sustain winning that division yet. With Mike Tomlin, nothing would surprise me how good he is. I just think that there's some offense missing. And I think Minnesota's going to be – they'd be 6-1, half dozen the other. It would. Minnesota's defense is flying around a little bit. They're making some big plays. As long as Darnold doesn't turn it over, he's the second-best quarterback. I'll take him over the other two already, Russ Wilson and – the way this year and Fields. So yeah. I'm going to go Minnesota second and Pittsburgh third. But at the end of the day, Pittsburgh's going to win 9 games and they're going to be hanging around. Yeah. I don't know if Minnesota's, but the Chargers are the best of the three, the 2-0 team.
I always go coach and quarterback, like who's got the best coach, who's got the best quarterback. And those are all good coaches, but you got the best coach and the best quarterback in Los Angeles.
If Tomlin and Herbert were in Pittsburgh, I'd say them.
Yeah, me
if too. Tomlin and Herbert were in Carolina, hell, I might say them too. Okay, let's not
work
go
on that.
They still got Dave Tepper as their owner, so let's cool that down a little bit because they'd fire them after one loss. But yeah, it's the Chargers.
All right, Salz, I know you're on your lunch break, but I wanted to play you this clip because I was so impressed. I follow the Titans and Malik Willis. They trade up to get him. It doesn't work out. At times, he looked incapable of playing the position in Tennessee, but that was a coach that was about to get fired. AJ Brown was no longer there. There's injuries all over the place. Like, it was a rough spot. He's in a much different spot in Green Bay. They tried to, I don't know if they're trying to bait him into talking some shit about the Titans, but they asked him about playing Tennessee again this week and if it was any spicier for him. And I was just so impressed with his response.
I could care less, bro. I think I got paid the whole time I was there, bro. I'm more than blessed for the opportunity they've given me and they brought me into this league, you know, whether those guys are there or not. You know, that organization, they took a shot on me, Miss Amy. They did a great job by me, all I'm concerned.
That is such love a it. Refreshing okay, take, so mature. I mean, I thought of you the second he said it because I was like, Sal's is going to really enjoy the way he responded to that question.
That's my kind of guy because we've all been critical of him. When he was in Tennessee, he didn't look like he could play.
Right.
I actually, and I know when I'm wrong. I thought that Indianapolis would go in there and beat him up in Green Bay because Willis getting a start. The last time he started a game wasn't real good. Now, I'm going to tell you, first of all, as you can tell, great perspective, great kid.
Yeah.
I talked to a coach who had coached him and been around him and said, great kid. And enormous, as we know, physical skill. We've seen that at Liberty. The kid can play. It just, listen, man, to jump from there to the NFL and you're kind of going in and out and the Tannehill, you got quarterbacks. So it's like, got to settle in. Once again, he played like most rookies do. I mean, most rookies don't play like Marino did or Stroud does or Andrew Luck or the ones that are turn out to be good. They just don't. They somewhere in between Bryce Young and CJ Stroud. And, you know, he got another opportunity. And I love the answer. They did. They drafted him. They took a chance on it. It didn't work out. Coaching changes. GM changes all the way around. And now Green Bay says, I like the skill set. And he's a great kid. Let's see what happens. And now he's in it. Yeah. And he went and played. He was efficient enough, made throws, didn't beat him last week. And that's a great one. But more importantly, the answer, because you know what a lot of guys would say, oh, yeah, I can't wait. I'm going to get even with these guys. Listen, football, the numbers game, money, I love it. And if that attitude, if his game continues to get and he gets comfortable, situated, and the game matches the attitude, you'll have a kid who'll be in the league a while. Because whenever you got his skill set, you are always going to hang on to a guy like that, or at least that potential makes you want to bring him into the room. So I loved it. You got paid. Great answer. And who knows what the result's going to be when he plays Tennessee. But I'm sure if you're Green Bay, you're thinking, thank goodness this kid was prepared and ready to go. And I couldn't be happier for him. And I didn't think he would play well enough to win last week, even at home. Good for him.
Do we think that there's actually a chance Jordan Love plays this week, boys? Or is that just, you know, we want to make the other team game plan for both of these guys? Because even if physically he could do it, we went through this with Rodgers at the end of last year. I wouldn't want to risk it if I was Green Bay, especially when, you know, you've been able to go out there and get W's without him. And at least you have somebody that can hold the fort until he is 100%.
I'd say
completely agree. It is. I think it's, go ahead. I think it's chatter of, you know, make the other team have to stay on the practice field longer. What if it's Jordan Love? And there's no way he can be 100% healthy. I think it's going to be Willis, but it's nice to put it out there. But yeah, I don't need a 70% quarterback as good as he can be instead of a guy who can at least give me some movement and is fully healthy. Give it a week or two for Love. I think Willis, I think it's a lot of gamesmanship.
Yeah.
I think until they drop two in a row, then we start having a legitimate discussion about it. But if you keep on treading water and stay one win, one loss, oh, we got two wins. I'm not rushing into it until it's absolutely necessary.
You paid too much money to the guy, right? I mean, you're the future's bright. He looks like he's got a hell of a player. And that's a great point. A good comparison is Kyle Tucker here, guys, in Astros baseball. You know, missed 70 games, was fouling it off his shin and that. Is it, as he started to come back, it's like, well, we can wait another day or two because we're winning.
Right.
They went on this win, and Ben Gamble was playing good baseball. They were able to mix and match with all the injuries. Same thing here. If you can stave it off and steal a few wins, why rush him back? If he's at 88%, let's get him to 98% before we run him out on the field. I know he wants to play, but you don't want to let him get in harm's way yet. And I'm a guy who, if you're hurt, you play. If you're injured, you don't. And he's probably somewhere in between. If they can pull this off and survive another week, I don't think it's time yet.
Look at this. Garen asked to you, Sal's, you're a pure pimp. Thank you, Mike, from Don't Sleep Energy. Yeah. Really appreciate that.
The original OD. Don't little bro me, dog.
No. I learned a new term. I didn't know the little bro. By the way, I think he said.
I stand on business. How's that for you, Chad?
You're going to kill Tor with that, Sal. He's going to have stroke out.
Yeah. Hey, got my stack. I'm standing on business. There you go. Oh,
we're breaking news. We're breaking news here on the show today.
Yeah, breaking news that we are. We're not just a bunch of basic white dudes that don't know what we're talking
about. Yeah, the most basic. Oh, no, Enoch said, oh, no. Hey, easy, Enoch. We're all trying our best. Sal's and I are trying to keep up. That's all we're trying to do.
Hey, speak for your damn self, bitch. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I turned back the test of time. I'm 60 going on about 22. How's that?
I'm going to check the boxes. Have Sal's call you a bitch on today's episode. Oh, that's fantastic. But, hey,
it just fits in. That's why you know you're my bitch because I love you and I'm yours. But you got to be able to say if it's what the kids are saying, I'm all in, brother.
Oh my God, Sal's a standing on business, and I'm his bitch, 100%.
No,
Sal's, love you.
I think I might be your bitch, but either way.
Oh, stop it, for God! I don't even like hearing you say that.
I
love you, brother. Thank you for coming.
I love you guys too.
Really
thanks
appreciate you.
Thanks
for making
sorry,
time.
Sorry for cussing. Sometimes you got to get the point across. You know, I dropped an F bomb. I love you guys, man.
Do some pearl clutching when you're gone. Thank you, brother. There he is, the great Sean Salisbury. Oh man, Tor, I didn't see it going that way towards the end.
No, I definitely did not see that happening.
Listen, you fucking bitch. Speak for yourself. I'm standing on my business.
You know I stay ready. Yeah.
Hell yeah. I know. All right, Sal. I didn't know he was built like that. Fuck me. Don't get it twisted, Tom. Thank you for Mike from Don't Sleep, our sole super chatter. So you know what that means, Mike. Oh, Mike gets what he likes. You get the brand new production again.
Now it's time for the NFL on X on both types of sports.
Sean Salisbury, everybody. It's at Sean Unfiltered on X. Please tweet him. Let him know you like him on the show. He does a great job. And also, he was very busy today, and he did his hit with us during his lunch break. So greatly appreciate him. Corey Reed at $9.99. Thank you. I don't know what's happening, but I'm digging it. I'm here for it, as the fucking Utes say. All right, Tor, I got a couple more of these for you, and then we can I'll let you go. All right.
Gotcha.
Good episode. This show will be available on Spotify and iTunes. Please do be subscribing. And again, thank you to Dream State Getaways for being our presenting sponsor. If you are going to see the theme parks in Florida, avoid the booking fees and check out the link on the scroll at the bottom of the video, dreamstaygetaways.us. Thank you, Corey Rita. Thank you, Mike from Don't Sleep. This is from a Twitter account that's gained a lot of steam. I think this is the Twitter account that was kind of leading the charge for changing the name back to Redskins.
Yeah.
I don't know who runs it. But who does this sound like? Who does this tweet sound like, by the way, Tor, about 3 or 4 years ago?
Oh, I think that sounds a little bit like Shude.
The tweet says, every day I hate the Commanders brand more and more. 10 years ago, if you told me I would start to resent the team I love, I would call bullshit. And that is a burgundy rose colored glasses type of cat that tweeted that. I wonder, I don't think that's ubiquitous, Tor. I see a lot of losers with the raise hail and the take command. It just seems to me that the, you know, it's a situation where most of the fan base doesn't seem to be all that twisted up about it.
The option to decide that we're going to show love to the old logo, the old name, the tradition with a piece of the stadium is odd, especially when there's been so much vitriol cast against the Washington football team, which then ended up becoming somewhat beloved because of its oddity, and then transforming into the Washington Commanders, which I think has gotten panned and now accepted because there's an exciting quarterback. Welcome back, Shoot. How you doing?
It's a good take. I actually was like, I look at Tor talking about sports.
It's just trying. I think that this is a fight that it'll probably never die. And as someone who still prefers the Washington Redskins name, I'm not going to deeply engage, but I will track it continuing forward.
I think it's dead already. The only place it still lives, unfortunately. Now, the one thing they could do is, you know, start acknowledging that the uniform could go back to more traditional look. I think if they put feathers on the outside of the W, we might be able to get there at some point when people aren't nearly as sensitive as they are now. One last tweet for us to look at. This is from the Hater Report, and the caption is, DJ Moore already sick of this dude, and there is brooding-ass DJ Moore with Caleb Williams standing next to him. He looked like that for, I want to say, much of the second half, Gigantor. He certainly seemed teed off with the lack of production in the passing game.
Well, unfortunately, this is 5 minutes into the second quarter and your premier receiver has this look on his face. If I'm like a coach, I don't think I'm going and scanning Twitter at halftime, but I might have an assistant do that for me just to see what the optics are like, what I'm not seeing.
What you're being drugged for.
If I had this report at halftime, my whole game plan changes. It is, hey, we are not going to have our wide receivers pouting in the second half. I don't care what happens. We're going to get these guys up, and maybe it actually helps us score some points, which I believe it would.
Look, I have an anti-pouting policy, but it's also very difficult if he really is a Justin Fields stan and really was getting more production out of him. And now it's like, although isn't DJ Moore one of the top paid wide receivers in the league now? Didn't he get a big grip of fucking cash this offseason? How about some perspective, young man?
Yeah, I think the perspective is, oh my God, I can't believe we're going to be 0-2. It's already the second quarter. We're going to lose this game. Does this team suck? Am I getting another year of my life buried in Chicago with a quarterback that won't feed me the ball? I think maybe it's selfishly he's looking at his own interests and thinking about himself in the moment, aside from the team. But if you're that type of competitor and a wide receiver with an ego, I can see why he would feel that way or make that face.
Yeah, but his money's not short, is it, Tor?
I wouldn't believe so. I believe his money is long.
Hey, what do you got?
Both types of sports.
Yeah, what's it do? Go long. Real long. Toss.
Both types of sports.
Thanks for listening to Both Types of Sports. Please leave a 5-star rating and review wherever you are listening to the show. And don't be afraid to share the show with a friend.